You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Had to do an emergency podcast here because the Mets love to keep things interesting, and Robinson Cano has tested positive for Stenzanol, another PED, and he has been suspended for the entirety of the 2021 season. This is a very weird story because while you're losing a player that was extremely productive this year, it opens up a world of possibilities for the Mets. So I just wanted to get this out there. In the first half of the show, I'll talk about Cano, the implications of this for his career, and then later on in the second half of this emergency podcast, I will talk about what this means for the Mets moving forward. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, I was high on Robinson Cano this year. If you guys have been listening to this show, he was the guy I thought would exceed expectations this season, and he did. Batted .316 with a .352 on base percentage and a .544 slugging percentage. His OPS was nearly 900, 896. OPS plus was 144. Had 10 home runs, 30 RBIs. Was graded as a positive defensive second baseman by outs above average. I mean, it was an awesome year. Now maybe we know why. Test positive for steroids yet again. And on one note, and I know there's a lot of people that hate Cano, this was unfortunate to hear if you were a baseball fan who just likes to see these great storied careers not get tarnished like this. And this was a Hall of Fame player. And I've been doing the math, and can Cano get to 3,000 hits? And if he does that, would he repair his image enough that maybe he's considered for Cooperstown? Now all that's out the window. This guy just basically kissed his reputation goodbye. There is no chance to get into the Hall of Fame. Not a one. He now has 2 years left on his contract with the Mets that may or may not get played out. He's going to be an albatross at that point where he comes back after now a whole year away from the game at 39 years old. What's that going to mean for Cano and his tenure with the Mets? At this point, if the Mets make moves to adjust with, you know, playing without him in 2021, where's his spot going to be coming into that season? This is a guy where Steve Cohen's going to have to eat a poison pill of the remaining, you know, $40-plus million he's owed, because the Mets are paying him $20.25 million a year, where the Mariners are still eating $3.7 million a year. So after this season, he's basically owed $40.5 million. Do the Mets keep him? Do the Mets just eat that contract? Do the Mets swallow a lot of it and try to find a team to trade him to? I don't know. If I had to guess at this point to play out this season, maybe you bring him in the next year and he no longer has the stature where he needs to start, and he's a guy who's a left-handed power bat off your bench potentially in the future for the last 2 years of that deal. But you got to wonder, can this guy play without the juice at this point? Is this a guy who just needs steroids to produce and to stay healthy? And maybe when you see all the injuries he had in 2019, is that because he got away from the steroids? And maybe the pressure of having such a bad year in 19, he got back on whatever regimen. And I think when it comes to steroids, what is the movie that Billy Corbin made on steroids? It's escaping me right now, but there's a great documentary that Billy Corbin made around the Alex Rodriguez steroid case. Screwball, that's what it's called, Screwball. It's around biogenesis. And the thing that's fascinating about it is with biogenesis, all these players that were doing steroids, if they did them in the right way, incrementally with the right doses, they could avoid ever testing positive. And it was when they screwed up from what the doctor told them to do that they would eventually get caught. So you're naive to think that steroids are scrubbed out of the game of baseball entirely. And here's another example of a guy who has been getting away with it or not getting away with it for who knows how long. And this is the second time where he has tested positive. Last time it was a diuretic, which is a masking agent for a steroid. This time it actually is stenzanol, a steroid performance enhancing drug he tests positive for. But the bottom line, as far as Robinson Cano is concerned, this is that final nail in his coffin as far as being linked to steroids. There's no coming back from it. I don't know what his future with the Mets is, but at this point, you push him to the back burner, and you don't even think about him until 2022. With that being said, this opens up a wealth of possibilities for the Mets, because now you're looking at luxury tax, you're looking at salary you can spend in free agency, you're looking at a roster that has a lot of options to plug into second base, and maybe this turns out to be a blessing in disguise for the New York Mets. I'll talk about what this means for the Mets in just a minute. Now, this is one of the weirdest stories ever, because why am I celebrating a Mets player getting suspended? It's counterintuitive. But when a guy's getting paid $24 million, 20.25 from the Mets, and you suddenly have that extra money to spend in free agency, and more importantly, the extra wiggle room in luxury tax room, now suddenly the Mets have more options. It's that simple. The Mets coming into this day were at about $55 million, depending on who you ask when it came to the luxury tax room. Now, you're looking at $75 million, something like that, that they can now spend without being a luxury tax team. And we'll talk about this throughout the week when it comes to Trevor Bauer. That's really important to be under the luxury tax, because you don't want to get into that position where you can be a repeat tax offender and have to deal with all of the draft ramifications, international spending ramifications. It's not worth it to be a luxury tax team. Now the Mets have much more breathing room there. More importantly, the Robinson Cano trade is going to go down as one of the worst in Mets history. And one of the reasons is they had an incumbent starting second baseman that was, and for all intents and purposes, better than Robinson Cano, particularly when you look at the age and the contract. Jeff McNeil provided way more value on a rookie deal than Cano ever would at $20-plus million. Instead of looking at that fact, Brody Van Wagenen brought in his former client and all this headache onto the Mets and pushed McNeil into a utility role. Now, McNeil thrived, played great in the outfield. I honestly think the corner outfield has turned into his best position. He's filled in at third base at times. Now, second base is open again. And there's still people who believe that's his best position. But more importantly, if you slide McNeil back into second, left field is once again wide open. Brandon Nimmo can play left. Maybe you sign George Springer. All of a sudden, okay, now we're cooking with gas here. The Mets outfield looks great. And from there, you have to build out the infield a little bit. But you have guys between McNeil, Guillorme, Andrés Giménez, Amed Rosario, J.D. Davis, to fill out that infield, then make the trade for Lindor. You're looking even better. Some of those guys likely move in that trade. Maybe you even look into signing in DJ LeMahieu. All of these options are on the table for the Mets. If they want to get Bauer and Realmuto, they can now spend that money and address their roster through trades or whatever else, smaller signings. But they have the money under the luxury tax to get two superstars. Maybe it's Bauer and Springer. Maybe it's Realmuto and Springer. I don't know what the Mets want to do, but you're looking at a team that has an owner who can spend, and suddenly you give him $20 extra million to put into his budget. And more importantly, that money when it comes to the luxury tax comes off. So now the Mets are in great standing there. I mean, this is a rare circumstance where a suspension is good for the Mets, and particularly for this team in 2021, everything's open to them. Now, when Cano comes back on the books, obviously you have to take that into account. So if you're going crazy spending right now and the Mets were to get Lindor, Bauer, and Springer, theoretically, you have to realize that $20 million is coming back on the books in 2022, unless, you know, Cano's an idiot and tests positive again and gets banned for life. So you look at that, and obviously there's still some constrictions with Robinson Cano's future salary. But in the short term, the Mets have a lot of options right now. And they can always figure some stuff out down the line. You could always, if you're motivated enough, find a team who needs a designated hitter who would potentially take, you know, half of Cano's salary maybe down the line. I don't know if that's realistic. We're talking way out into the future. But there's ways to maneuver money to make all this work in 2022. But the bottom line is those are problems for next year. Right now, for the New York Mets, when you're looking at this team and what they have in store for them, their options to improve just increase significantly. Did they lose a great hitter for them, or at least a guy who really produced this year? Yes, they did. But I am more encouraged by what can come in and fill that role for the Mets than I'm discouraged about what they're losing. I'll be honest, my first reaction, gut reaction, was, oh, here we go again with Cano. I felt bad for baseball, because you don't want to see another star's legacy just tarnished. But then when I took a step back and just really thought about what this meant for the Mets, you're almost excited. And it's weird that we keep coming back to this place where even the bad news brings excitement for Mets fans. It is a complete 180 from where things were under the Wilpons, where this simply would have been Jeff and Fred just saved themselves $20 million. They don't have to reinvest it. They won't reinvest it. And, you know, that would have been it. That would have been the final story. You just lost a contributor to your lineup, and now just expect Andrés Giménez and Luis Guillorme to take all those at-bats. You're still going to have Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, Michael Conforto in your outfield. Nothing's changing. And who knows? Maybe they're floating some of their other good players, like Conforto is going to make a lot in arbitration, and they're putting him on the trade market because they're not going to pay for him in free agency a year from now, and they want to get value before that contract expires. That's the way the offseason could have been going under the previous regime. Now you're met with the news of a suspension, and it is all good thoughts and optimism about what lies ahead. It is a really strange place to be if you're a Mets fan, but that's where we all are at this point. That's what we're looking at. Again, on tomorrow's show, going to have a conversation with a Mets fan who is all in on signing Trevor Bauer, probably even more so now. We talked around 12 o'clock before this news broke, so you'll hear some things in there that don't quite line up with this recent development. But overall, we talk about Trevor Bauer's impact on the Mets, not only on the mound, but also the way he can impact them with his embrace of analytics and what he can bring to this team as a whole. Tune into that tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets.